We sang a song earlier on. The river of God sets my feet a-dancing. The river of God fills my heart with cheer. Let's talk about God's river. Who is the river? You are very clever. The river is the Holy Spirit. Jesus once made a statement in the book of John 7:37. When he was answering a woman at a well who wanted the water that Jesus was talking about, that he made a comment and he said that if you receive the water I give you, you will never thirst again. Now I want to ask you a question. But I want you to listen carefully to this question. Who of you is thirsty for something? In other words, you are thirsty. Now, let's quickly understand something. Sometimes you go to somebody and they offer you coffee. It's not like you're thirsty or anything, but suppose coffee would be nice. You take the coffee, you drink the coffee, but you were not thirsty. Does that have the same effect on you as when you've been out in the sun the whole day? You've been toiling, you've been working, you've been slaving yourself. Let's say you were working in the garden. I know for some of you that's a stretch, but hey, miracles still happen, right? And all the teenagers are thinking this, like, must be crazy. Don't put ideas in my dad's mind. But let's just say that you were outside in the garden and you were busy working very hard. It's a summer's day. Let's say it's in December. You've been out since 8 o'clock. Yeah, it's about 1 o'clock. The sun has been beating down on you. You've been sweating. You are sticky. You are hot. But above all, you are thirsty. If I was to come to you then and I was to say to you, do you want a glass of water or a glass of orange juice or a glass of Coke? Would you then value what I give you much more than when you walked in there and it was like, it'll be nice to have, but I don't really need it? Which one would be the better one? The second one. Because the second one is not just going to be something that you drink. It's going to be something that actually touches you deep, deep inside. Have you ever felt that when you are really, really thirsty and you take that first one or two big gulps of that liquid, it's like something happens, yeah, inside of you. You actually feel that liquid touch your body. It refreshes you. It energizes you. It does something. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Wow. Now, there was a woman that asked Jesus, I want this water that you are talking about. I want this water. In fact, let's go to the book of John. We'll come back to this other part that I want to read you just now. This woman comes to Jesus because she's never heard of this kind of water. To her, this is crazy. Now, let me just read you that scripture first. On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within you. By this he meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. For up until that time, the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Okay. This is where Jesus made the statement that the Holy Spirit is like water. If we come to him, listen to the scripture. If we come to him, John 7:37, on the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. I want to compare what Jesus said with just walking into somebody's house and they said, "Do you want something to drink?" Yeah, okay, I'll have something. It's almost like you're doing them a favor, them giving you something. I want you to notice that there is a difference here. The thirsty that Jesus is talking about is not like, okay, well, you know what, that sounds like, that could be a plan, you know, maybe we should do something about that. That's the problem in the church today. People are not thirsty. The living water is available to everybody. But not everybody is going to take the living water because not everybody has worked up a thirst for the things of the Spirit of God. And one of the reasons why we battle with this whole concept is because we often come from churches and from church backgrounds where the Holy Spirit is not really involved. I know that you've heard me make this statement before, but they tell a story of a young girl. And she went missing one day at church, and everybody was freaking out because she's 4 years old and she's gone. Now there's a problem. So the mother's running around, the father's running around, the pastor's running around, the deacons are running around, the elders are running around, the Sunday school teachers, all the friends and all the family, and they're all over the church and they can't find her. About an hour later, somebody finds her in the basement. And of course now the mommy and daddy is like highly upset. What on earth is she thinking going alone into the basement? On the one hand, they want to give her a hiding, but on the other hand, they are just so thankful that she's safe. And her mother grabs her in her arms and her mother says, "My darling, what on earth are you doing down here? What were you thinking? This is a dangerous place." Do you know what the little girl answered? She came down here to look for the Holy Ghost. Because she heard that there is a Father and a Son and a Holy Ghost. And because she's never experienced the Holy Ghost in church, she thought he must be hiding in the basement. He is a ghost, after all. And I want to say to you that that is how a lot of people perceive. We go to churches where we confess the Father, we confess the Son, we confess the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, if you like. We confess it, we speak it. But here's a question, do we really believe it? The Holy Spirit is necessary. Because without the Holy Spirit, nothing gets done. We have the Father, who is the Father? He's in charge. We have Jesus, the Son, who came to give His life for us, to make a way for us to get back to our Father, who is in charge. And then we have the Holy Spirit that makes everything work, because without Him, nothing works. And without Him, the church doesn't work. You know, you can get upset with me, you can be offended with me, I don't care. But too many churches today, the power behind it is the pastor, or the power behind it is the deacon, or the power behind it is the leadership of the church, and the power behind it is not the Holy Spirit of God. That's why you can go there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, but nothing in your life ever changes and nothing really ever happens. Do you know that water is something amazing? Water is powerful. When water moves, it'll move you. Have you ever tried to walk through a stream? Just raise your hands if you know what I'm talking about. You tried to walk through a stream. When you're standing outside and you look at a river, it looks peaceful, it looks tranquil. It's like, wow, that looks nice. And then sometimes we are tempted to just wade into that water because we want to feel that cool, refreshing water against our skin. But sometimes you must judge yourself because that stream is actually moving a lot faster than what you think. My son Matthew is sitting at the back there. A couple of years ago, we go fishing. So he's got his grandfather's umbrella. And let me just say that grandfather is very holy about his stuff. He's got the grandfather's umbrella, and he's parking off there by the fishing with the umbrella. And lo and behold, the next moment, this massive wind comes up. Will you believe that at that place, the river was probably 100 meters wide. We were at the Vaal. The wind took that umbrella and put it on the other side. That was scary. And grandfather didn't think that that was funny. And seeing as we had another 2 days to spend there, and it was going to be really awkward if grandfather was going to be grumpy all the time, we have to make a plan now, you understand? So I say to him, well, you know what? There's only one way that we can salvage this thing. We better swim over and go and fetch it. And let me just say to you that the water looked so calm, so tranquil, so peaceful. So we took some bottles for the air, you know, just to help you float over. And yeah, me and him, we go. I tie him to me, and I tie him, I tie the bottles and stuff that we got together so that we don't lose each other, and yeah, we start swimming. Oh my word, what a disaster. Because that quiet river wasn't quiet when we went a couple of meters in. There was one hell of a stream pulling us to the side. We nearly ended up in the other side of the Free State. You know, like. We were halfway and Matthew was like, oh, Dad, I can't do this anymore. I said, you better make a plan. That water had a power that we weren't aware of until we touched it. When we went into that river, we suddenly realized how powerful that river really is. A lot of people don't understand what this whole thing is about, the Holy Spirit, because they've never felt His power. When you try and walk through a stream, that water that begins to move insists on moving you. I wonder how many of you sometimes feel in your life, I'm stuck. Anybody? Well, let's see how long you can stay stuck when a billion tons of water starts pushing down on you. Do you think you're going to stay stuck? I don't think so. I think you're going to find it very easy to move. In fact, you're going to move all over the place very quickly. And that's why so many people's lives aren't actually going anywhere. Because the river of God is not pushing against them. If you don't like where your life is right now, and if you don't like the circumstances that you are living in right now, I want to say something to you. You yourself probably can't move you. But when the water of God begins to push against you, it will move you, and it will move you in the right direction. Jesus said, John chapter 7, verse 37, listen carefully. On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. How do you experience the river of God? When you are thirsty. You don't experience the river of God when your attitude is like, sounds like a good idea, y'all, maybe. But wait, maybe not. Yeah, I don't know if this is for me, eh? Sheesh. Let me ponder this for a while. Yeah, guess what? You're going to get nothing. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is reserved for those that want it. There is a sense of desperation in what Jesus is talking about. You have to come to the place that you become desperate for God. And when you become desperate for God, guess what? Suddenly you find yourself in the river. And when you're in the river, you can drink and drink and drink and drink as much as you want. And you will never thirst again, because God will then allow you to begin to live your life in the river. And then your life is going to go where the river wants you to go. And the river is always on the way where God wants it to go. Because the river obeys God, not you. Can you walk into the Vaal River and tell it to stop, turn around and go in another direction? Is it going to listen to you? No, it's not. It's going to take you in the direction that it was set. When we go into the river of God, when we go into the we get to the place that we are hungry for God, we are thirsty for God, we are desperate for God, then God puts us in a place where spontaneously something begins to happen that begins to direct your life in a brand new direction. And instead of just plodding along regardless, going left and right and up and down and wasting time and messing around, you suddenly begin to go somewhere. And when you look back, you can see, wow, I've made progress. I've come a long way. Your flesh cannot do that for you. How does the church go forward? The church goes forward when the living water of God is there. If it is the pastor driving the church will go nowhere. If it is the elders driving the church will go nowhere. Even if it's the people driving the church will go nowhere. The church will be what we call impotent. And God never called us to be impotent. He called us to make a difference. He called us to be dangerous. Did you know that you are supposed to be dangerous? Mr. Bean, did you know that you are supposed to be dangerous? You better not be dangerous to your wife, eh? When he ate too much beans, then he's dangerous. Yes, I agree. No, that's not why we call him Mr. Bean. We are called to be dangerous. When you wake up in the morning, you should be one of Satan's worst nightmares. He should have a panic attack thinking to himself, oh, you know what, that one woke up. I don't know what's going to happen, but there's going to be drama in my life today. Of how many Christians do you think that that can be said? No, not many. Because if you look at the world the way that it is today, the devil is very, very busy. There's not enough people keeping him busy. There's too many people doing exactly what he wants. Is the devil afraid of every Christian? You've got to be joking. There's too many of them that haven't got a cooking clue what's going on. In fact, there's too many of them working with him instead of against him. Do you know that the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you? Resist. You're supposed to be working against him. You're not supposed to be working for him. There's a lot of Christians sitting in church every Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they're actually working for him. Wow, what a way to get a hiding. Because if you work for him, but then on Sunday you sit in church, it's like he thinks to himself, ooh, man, I'm going to have to teach this one some manners. And he will. Yes, you are called to be dangerous. You are supposed to be dangerous. Jesus was a very dangerous man. When Jesus walked into the synagogue, every devil, every demon, every curse, every principality, every power, every ruler of the darkness of this age, all spiritual wickedness in high places, knew that they knew, ooh, here comes trouble. A lot of those chochos popped before he even said a word. You know why? Because Jesus was dangerous. And Jesus, when Jesus walked in there, the river came with him. You want to move a demon? Let the river move him. Do you hear what I say? You want to move some curse out of your life and you're battling right now? Let the river move it. If you can't stand against the river, I want to tell you that that spirit can't stand against the river either. You can't tell a river what to do. Yes, I understand that Moses put his staff down and things happened, but that was because of the Spirit of God himself. You and I, we can't. Demons are stubborn. Go figure. When you cast them out, they go to hell. You wouldn't want to leave either, would you? Ma'am, what's your name? Yes. Mara. If I was to send you to a very hot place, let's say 1,000 degrees Celsius, would you be very excited at the prospect of going there? Would you be like, oh, yay, I won the lottery. Wow, yeah, well, you know. No, of course not. You're going to complain. You're going to moan. In fact, you might be downright disrespectful, upset, angry. You might dig your heels in and say, oh, yeah, I'm not going to go nowhere. That's exactly how the devil operates. But When the river pushes, it'll push him out. Just like the river will take you where you're supposed to go, so the river will push that rubbish out of your life. Jesus was dangerous because Jesus was the one that said, when we come to him and drink, streams of living water will come gushing from within us. In other words, Jesus was saying, just like him, we will become the origin of the river. The river will flow through us. It'll enter us and flow through us. When Jesus walked into a synagogue, or he walked into somebody's house, or he walked down the street, the river walked with him. The river flowed with him. Now, here's the thing with a river. It demands your attention whether you want it or not. A good friend of mine here, where are you now? Miguel. He has a house down at the coast. And there's a river quite far from the house. Well, if I say quite far, about 50 meters, 60 meters. And of course, you would think to yourself that you are safe. But then one day, there comes a lot of rain. And it keeps coming down, and it keeps coming down. And the next thing you know, the river is there. How much damage did the river do? It actually took the ceilings out of the house. Hello? A river demands your attention. If the devil wants to say no, the river says yes, and the river's going to win. If you are stuck right now because the devil wants you to be stuck, there's a wonderful way of you to get unstuck. John 7:37, become thirsty. If you become thirsty enough, the river will begin to flow. When the river flows, it'll move you. You can't stop it. There's nothing that you can do to stop it. That's why we call it natural disasters. Well, guess what? When the river of God flows, there's some serious disasters in the kingdom of darkness as well. And let me tell you something, demons are not good swimmers. They are pathetic when it comes to that. And they can't snorkel. They can't do the breaststroke or the crawl, the butterfly. They can't even doggy paddle. So when the river comes, it spells doom for them. It spells destruction for them. When Jesus walked into a synagogue and he began to speak the word of God, because he was so filled with the Spirit of God, and the Bible says when Jesus came out of the desert, he was filled. When he went into the desert, he was filled with the Spirit of God. When he spoke, every word that he spoke was gushing river of life. When he pointed his finger, he was actually directing the river of life towards a person. When he spoke to a person, his words were directing the river of life into that person. And whatever the situation was, whatever the problem was, it was resolved because of the river of life that flowed through Jesus Christ. And I have some very good news for you. Let's quickly look at the ministry that Jesus had. In his ministry, the blind eyes opened. Amen. In his ministry, the deaf ears heard. Amen. In fact, he actually walked on water. He multiplied food substance. He turned water into wine. And of course, all the heavy drinkers around here are thinking to themselves, wow, that sounds like a bargain. No. Come, I'll pray for you. And he cast out devils by the gazillions. No demon was ever safe when Jesus was around. But why? Because of the river of life that flowed through him. Because the river of life was always with him. Do you agree with me that that was an amazing ministry? The most amazing ministry we've ever seen. But now I put it to you. Jesus said, you will do what I have done and even greater things. According to Jesus, what we read in the Bible should be available to you, Georgie. And to you, Uncle Tony. And Uncle Ed. Guess what? It's for you too. But in order to get the same results that Jesus got, we have to get to the place where he was. Jesus was a channel for living water. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you a channel for living water? Probably not the way that you should. But that doesn't mean that you couldn't be. If you come to the place that you get thirsty enough, that you are desperate for God, that you realize that without him you are nothing and that you can't do anything by yourself, if you choose to humble yourself before God, if you put your faith in him, because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God, if you choose to be obedient when he speaks to you and stop your disobedience, then you start opening up your heart more and more and more and more. I want to explain to you something that probably you don't know. But inside of your heart there is a gate. And that gate is influenced by many factors, like faith, obedience, discipline, perseverance. There are many things that influence this gate. But a lot of people, they've opened the gate, yes, and water starts coming in, yes, but it's like one drip at a time. One drip at a time. So then some stupid demon comes into your life and you want to rebuke the thing and it has to go now. It must just futzak, you know? And you point your finger and you tell the thing to go. Now when Jesus did that, when he pointed his finger, the whole river went in that direction and the demon just went, and it was gone. When you do it, you point your finger and it's like, drip, drip. So the demon is standing there. What? That's all you got? Let me show you what I can do. And then you suffer. You know where the problem is? The problem is in the heart. Because the living water has to gush from your belly. But it originates in your heart. Because that's where Christ lives. And Jesus is the one that releases the Holy Spirit in us. He said, come to me and drink. He's the one that gives it. If there is a problem in your heart, then there is a problem with your gate. You know, there are some countries where they have what they call sluices. And dikes and all sorts of stuff. Which is just like these big gates that can close or open to allow water. Actually, forget about that. Think of your tap at home. That tap, depending on how you turn the top part, can either give a lot of water or it can drip. Depending on how it's been set. We are exactly the same. You can either be dripping or you can be flooding. What God wants from you is to flood. And why is it a good thing to flood? Because when you walk into a room and you start flooding that room with living water, then you start touching the death that is all around you. Life comes through the living water of God. The world right now is suffering because there's too much death. And I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about death as Satan has loosed his destruction, the spirit of death, and all this carnage on this world. Drug abuse, Satanism, prostitution, crime, corruption, etc., etc., all brings death. Wherever those things touch people and things begin to die. What is the antidote? Life. Where does life come from? Water. Where do we get the water? Jesus gives the living water. But it doesn't help if there is a problem with me and instead of the water, Jesus said, listen to this. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within you. Streams. We can also look at that as rivers of life will flow from within you. God wants rivers to start flowing from you. What's your name again, son? Was it Rudy? Rudy, people shouldn't be calling you an old drip. Hello? What should they be calling you? What did you say? A fire hydrant. I actually like that. A fire hydrant. Probably a fire hydrant. You should be a river. You battle with things now and then, don't you? The devil sort of holds you back in a lot of areas, doesn't he? Imagine if that river starts flowing through you and that river begins to take you. Do you think that the evil one is going to hold you back? No, he's not. We've all seen what a river can do when it wants to. A river can clear a whole town quick if it goes through there. No matter how deep the foundations of that house, when the river comes, the house is gone. So it is with the purpose, the plan, the scheme, the strongholds of Satan. When the river of God flows through there, things are going to happen. Sickness, infirmity. When the river comes through there, it gets washed away. All the rubbish that is around, when enough water goes past, it's gone. No matter how you look at it, we need more of the river of life. The river of God sets our feet a-dancing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is also the spirit of joy. When the river of God flows through your life, you have joy in your spirit. A lot of people are battling with depression and hopelessness and despondency and despair and dejection and heaviness and stress and anxiety and worry and fright and fear. Why? Because there's not enough joy. If you have nothing inside of you that makes you happy, then you're going to be unhappy. If nothing inside of you gives you joy, then everything out there is going to make you upset and irritable and angry. But it should come from within us. You see, that is the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness comes because of circumstances. If I tell you now you've won R1 million, will you be happy? Of course. She'll be very happy. But if somebody then comes and steals R1 million from her, guess what? She's going to fall apart. The difference between somebody with happiness and somebody with joy is somebody with joy will always have joy. Somebody with happiness might lose it tomorrow because the things that make you happy might not be lasting. Joy comes from within us. Just like the river of life flows through you, so joy and laughter can flow through you when the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Do you know that we live in a very tough time? It's worse now than it's ever been. And don't you think for one second that God doesn't know that things are bad. He knows. But you know that He gave us a very, very amazing promise. Do you remember on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter stood up and he gave his first sermon? Do you know what he said? Let's take a look at what he said. Acts chapter 2. Then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. All right, for those of you that don't really know this passage, what just happened was the day of Pentecost. The disciples were all together. They were all praying. They were worshiping God. They were praising God. And they were thirsty. Look at your neighbor and say, thirsty. Thirsty. Their souls were crying out to God. And suddenly, the heavens opened. And I want you to hear this. When the heavens opened, pandemonium struck. They saw what looked like tongues of fire come down on them. The Holy Spirit is interesting because sometimes He's a fire and sometimes He's a river, depending on what the situation dictates. But the fire of God came down. And the Bible says, and they were filled with the Spirit of God. Okay, let me read it to you. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heavens and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I actually just want to say something about that. Do you know that when the Holy Spirit is present in power, you can actually feel it in the atmosphere? He filled the house. He filled the house before He filled them. You know, there are times when the power of the Holy Spirit is present so strong that things begin to happen to people all around simply because of His presence. Demons start screaming without anybody touching them. People go down and they start manifesting. People get healed without anybody touching them. I like it. The Holy Spirit, when the river is running through here, it's going to fill this whole place. And that's what we need. He says He filled the house. And look at this. Suddenly the sound came from heaven. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. First, the Holy Spirit filled the place. Then the Holy Spirit filled the individuals. Because the Holy Spirit is personal. Yes, He will fill the place. The river will fill the place. But the river also wants to touch the individual and enter you. But I also have to say something about the Holy Spirit. He is a gentleman. He won't force Himself on you. He won't force Himself on you. He won't force Himself on you or you or you or any one of you. Many times people go to meetings where the power of the Holy Spirit is there. The river of God is moving and people are standing there like, No, this is not for me, eh? Well, I don't know. I don't think God operates this way. Yeah. What makes you such an expert? If we come from churches where we hardly ever experience the Holy Spirit, where to us He's just a word, what makes you an expert? Please explain that to me. You've heard me say this, but one of my first encounters in a really radically charismatic church, I actually also left. I thought to myself, this stuff can't be right. Subsequently, I have repented because what happened there was right. But it was so different from what I was used to, and it was so different from what I grew up with that to me, this was like, this can't be. No, it was. Please remember that we serve a supernatural God, and please remember that His kingdom is supernatural, and please remember that He doesn't work in worldly ways, but supernatural ways. So when you see that, it'll freak your mind. It's supposed to freak your mind because it's not natural. It's supernatural. And the Bible says carnal people, when they see that, they will say, oh, this is foolishness. Which is just another way of saying, oh, this is rubbish. I get accused many times that the things happening at my meetings are rubbish. Guess what? I don't care. If you don't like what happens here, you don't have to come back. But I will tell you one thing. I don't want to have no meeting where the river doesn't show up. Because I can't do nothing for you, but the river can. And I don't want this little puddle. I want a river. Because I'm thirsty. And I need you to be thirsty too. I need you to be thirsty too. Because I want to tell you something. We are a special generation, whether the devil likes it or not. You know, it would have been amazing to walk with Jesus, to sit at His table, to have Him lay hands on you personally and minister into your life and speak to you and all of that type of stuff. But can I tell you something? This generation goes through 1,000 times more trials, tribulations, and problems than what Peter went through, and John went through, and Luke went through, and all the other disciples. Because the pressure on us now is a gazillion times more than was on them. There is more persecution now than what there was then. The world is 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 times more evil than it was back then. And let me tell you something. When God destined you to be born, He had to see something inside of you that said to Him, listen, I want this one to come in the year 20 whatever. I want you to hear me. Yeah, you are not a wimp. Look at your neighbor and say, you are not a wimp. Yeah, I know you look at yourself and you think, oh, geez, like I'm good for nothing. You know, I can't do anything. But you can, because God destined you to be born now in difficult times. And listen to me. Look at your other neighbor and say, God makes no mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. So if you were born in this time, if you were born for this season, if you were born for this era, if you were born in this generation, then there is more to you than meets the eye. Which is exactly why the devil doesn't like you. The simple fact that you were born when you were born tells the devil, this one is dangerous. Please look at your neighbor and say, you are dangerous. There we go. But you are. Which is why the devil is always on your case. Amen? Too much. I agree with you. So how's about you start eating back? We're not wimps. Listen to me carefully. The devil knows there's a lot more to you than what you know. Just like God knows that there's a lot more to you than what you know. But if you want to start knowing what both God and the devil knows, it's time for you to fall in the river. Because when you are in the river, a lot of things are going to be revealed to you that probably right now you do not know. Amen? Getting back to the scripture. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, this was what Jesus was talking about. That people would come to Him and be filled with the Holy Spirit and streams of living water will begin to flow through them, etc., etc. But I want to show you something. Look at this. Now Peter is going to explain to everybody what happened. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, says the Lord. Stop right there. In the last days, says the Lord. Somebody help me out. When are we living? Can I have that again? Now, there's a couple of chochos hanging around here that needs to get the message. I'm going to ask you to shout that out. What time are we living in?
The last days!
Ah, what's going to happen in the last days? Fasten your seatbelt and prepare yourself. Here it goes. In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit on all my people. Did you hear that? I know that you like to complain about everything that's going on and, oh, you know what, things are so bad and things are so tough and there's problems here and problems there. And man, can you believe it? Julius Malema and blah, okay. And we'll be quiet about Zuma. But anyway, moving right along. God gave you a promise. You know, there was this movie that had the soundtrack. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. You just didn't know that you were tough. When God looked at you, He sees, oh, that's one tough cookie. When the devil looks at you, he sees the same thing. He's just never going to admit to it. But he's more afraid of you than he'll ever admit. Because we are a generation that was chosen by God to live in the end of the age when there will be a greater outpouring of the Spirit than ever before. Oh, but Rion, how can you say that? Listen to me very carefully, man. Come on. If Paul needed the Holy Spirit and Peter needed the Holy Spirit when there was hardly any rubbish in the world, how much more do you need the Holy Spirit right now? Come on. listen to me. These oaks, yes, I understand that they needed to start things, but listen to me. What's coming against you and I in the generation that we're living in is a lot worse than what was coming against them. They were not confronted by the same rubbish. It's worse now. But God knows that, and God prophesied that. Listen to what He prophesied. He's speaking to you and He's speaking to me. In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Signs and wonders will follow in our generation. Did you hear that? Do you know that God can do signs and wonders through you? Do you know that God can do signs and wonders through you? And you? And you? Do you believe that? I want to say something to you. The devil believes that. Oh, Rion, what are you talking about? The devil believes that. That's why he's giving you so much rubbish. Because he wants you depressed. He wants you despondent. He wants you dejected. He wants you angry. He wants you bitter. He wants you full of nonsense. Because then you will never be what God called you to be. You will not be in the river. The more angry and upset and whatever you are, you start standing on the bank of the river instead of being in the river. The more depressed we are, the more stressed we are, the more frustrated we are, the more fearful we are, the less we are in the river. Remember, I spoke to you about the gate in your heart. A lot of us have a problem with our gate. Instead of it being open for the river to flow through, it's shut. But who's in charge of the gate? Listen to me, it's not the devil. He wishes he was, but he's not. He will lie to you and tell you that he is, but he's not. It's your heart. It's your gate. Oh, you guess which scripture I'm going to give you now. Proverbs 4. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. It's not just the bad stuff that flows through your heart, it's also the good stuff that flows through your heart. In other words, the Bible tells us, watch what's in your heart, because what's in your heart will determine what flows. If your heart is closed, the living water cannot flow. You can't do what Jesus did if you are not at the place where He was. Amen? So I want to say this to you. God wants us to come to the place that we understand how this stuff works, that we understand that we are supposed to be dangerous. We are dangerous. We just have to realize that. We have to figure out what the devil has figured out a long time ago. We can make a difference. Look at your neighbor and say, you can make a difference. Yes, you can. How are you going to do it? God's going to help you. How's He going to help you? In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. All God wants you to be is a channel. When the power of God, the living water, is poured from above, you channel it in the right direction. If it needs to go this way, you channel it this way. If it needs to go into her life, through you, God brings it into her life, brings it into their marriage, brings it into their finances, brings it into her body to bring healing, brings it into Him and casts out like 5,000 devils. I'm only joking, man. How did Jesus deal with a demon by the name of Legion so quickly? You know that the word Legion means 6,825. When Jesus asked the demon, who are you? The demon answered, we are 6,825. and you thought you had a difficult life. Hello? Now I want to explain something to you. Jesus told the demon to come out, and it came out. Why? Because when Jesus spoke, a river was loosed upon that demon. And because the river had power, the demon just had to go. He was gone. Let's be practical. So there's a blockage in your finances. That channel that must bring in finances and prosperity, there's a blockage. Water can move anything, Tony. Even the blockage. And if the blockage was your wife, but it's not. It's not. We started out by singing a song, "The River of God sets my feet a dancing. The River of God fills my heart with cheer." The River of God wants to come into your life. Without the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing. You're going to go nowhere. You are incapable. But when the Holy Spirit works with you, works through you, you suddenly become a whole different ball game. You become useful to God and dangerous to the devil. And when the river of God flows through you, it begins to direct you where God wants you to go instead of where you always mess up and go in the wrong direction. So what am I trying to tell you tonight? Tonight I really believe that God wants to release the river. Two things. God wants to release the river, and God wants to help us with our hearts. If our hearts are not right, to allow the river to flow through us. Because it's no good, you want to be in the river, but you don't let the river flow through you. The river needs to flow through you. The Bible says streams of living water must come gushing from within you. I know for some of you this is really strange, but God wants to use you. Listen to me, if God had to wait for pastors, He would wait forever. Because there's not that many of them. And I'm sorry to tell you this, but there's also not that many of them that are Spirit-filled. I've met a lot of them. And you can see very clearly that a lot of them is just a job. No, my friend, it's not a job, it's a calling. And you have to know and understand that calling. And if you try and do that in the flesh, you will not take people forward, you will move them backwards. They will not have victory, they will suffer defeat. They will not have prosperity, they will have lack. Why? Because you can't give them nothing. The flesh can't heal. The flesh can't deliver. The flesh can't equip. The flesh can't restore. We greet people every day. When was the last time you touched somebody and you felt healing come into your body? That only happens when the river flows. That only happens when the river flows. The flesh will not give it to you. The Spirit will. When the river starts flowing into you, your spirit becomes strong. You become the person God wanted you to be. I want to see the hands of all of you who wants to be in the river. And I want to see the hands of, I like you. Stand up quickly. Yeah, young man. With the green pants. Do that again. I said, who wants? And then you clapped your hands. Yeah, I like that. Come, give him a big hand. Can I tell you what he just showed God? He showed God, I'm thirsty. He showed God, I don't care what these people think. I want this. And you're going to have it, my boy. And is there anybody here that thinks that probably their gate is a little bit too closed inside and it's not flowing? Come on. Who needs the gate to be opened more? There we go. We all need it. Come on, don't tell me that right now where you are where you are supposed to be. Have you arrived? No, you haven't. So then God can do something for you today. If you are willing to be obedient, if you are willing to humble yourself, if you are willing to deal with your whatever it is that you got, then tonight I'm telling you now, the Holy Spirit will push open that gate. Man, here's what I'm expecting. Tomorrow you walk into the office, and you know that auntie that's always on your case giving you a hard time. Suddenly all sorts of chochos just start popping all out of her. Boink, boink, boink. Yeah, for sure. She'll get fired. Come on. If the river flows, things are going to happen, man. You don't tell the river what to do, it tells you what to do. You know that boss that's always giving you a hard time? Probably the river will push him in a direction where suddenly he's no longer an issue in your life. You never know what God can do. Listen to me, God will work with us. Doesn't the Bible say God will work with us and confirm His word with signs and wonders? Do you need signs and wonders in your bank account? Of course, all of you do. Do you need the right signs? So right now you got the wrong wonders in your bank account. You sit there wondering what the hell. Eh? I like that. Do you need signs and wonders in your job? Do you need signs and wonders in your body? Your mind? Oh, your life. The Bible says God will work with us and confirm His word with signs and wonders that will follow. Now, a lot of the times when we read that scripture, we think to ourselves, that's got to do with when you go and you pray for other people. What about if it's got to do with what needs to also happen in your life? Don't you need signs and wonders in your life? I do. And God says He will work with me. And I understand that the only way for the signs and wonders to come is when the Holy Spirit and the river is flowing in my life. Then things are going to happen. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I like tonight's message. I liked it a lot. I want to say to you that God is good and that I believe that tonight the river is going to flow, yeah?
Amen.
Amen. So what must you be for the river to come through you? Thirsty. What must you be for the river to flow through you? What must you be for the river to flow through you?
Thirsty!
Now you sound like you're thirsty. Before you were like, should I or shouldn't I? I want you to be thirsty. And tonight when I say it's time for prayer, I want to see Usain Bolt come out of that chair. And you make a plan and you get you out to the front. You show God, I want it. I want it. The Bible says, according to your faith, it shall be given unto you. This message means nothing if you're going to treat it with like, But if you put faith in it, it'll change your life. Amen?
Amen.
Well, bless God. All right.